S. So, what are your FE fears in MUS music? What are your fears in music?
What are my fears in music? Well, my fears about music, or my fears like that I write the songs about.
A. Mm-hmm. B. About music. Two. S. To start with. About music to start with.
Well, I guess some of my fears, probably one of my main fears about music has been that the music I do is kind of unusual, a little bit. And also because I've seen mostly a cappella, and that sometimes I've had some doubts about, oh, well, is a cappella just a cappella okay? Mostly because the person who I used to be with, that those songs were about, really disapproved of me putting myself out there. So sometimes one of my fears is, well, it's not good enough because it's a cappella. But I'm kind of overcoming that now, especially with a very supportive partner who's also a co-producer of Rose Street, and who's actually the one who made contact with you, Reef Upline.
Yeah. Is not S I singing W I with out music H A harder than singing with music? Isn't singing without a musical back, without music background, harder than singing with music?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It definitely is harder. And but I like doing it because I like having, you know, especially when Rebecca and I are singing together, it's, I like having the, just the raw voices there. And then it's nice to kind of have an occasional collaboration with other people where we kind of add some instruments.
How did you S.T. start Rose Street?
I started Rose Street about 5 years ago, after moving to Berkeley, and I had gone to a house concert in San Francisco that I really liked. And before that, many years before starting Rose Street, throughout the years, I was involved in a lot of concert organizing as a volunteer and singing in benefits and organizing benefits, and kind of followed from there to keep doing that, but in a different way. And the house that my then partner and I moved into was the perfect place for having house concerts. And so we started out with just one concert and then kept on building more and more, and kind of that's how it happened. And it's all a volunteer-run musical community type thing. It's all everybody who is involved in making it happen, producing the concerts, is a volunteer. And the Rose Street off-site concerts actually started about 2000, about 3 years ago. The off-site, that's when the off-site concerts, and it was kind of an expansion of what we were doing at Rose Street, but out into the community as well.
Mm-hmm. W I with the C L clubs disappearing, shutting down. O U hour two L I living rooms.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so many clubs are shutting down, and then also so many clubs. It's hard to. There's a lot of clubs where people don't really listen to the music. They just kind of talk and drink beer, and so one of the nice things about the house concerts is that people really. Nothing against beer. It's more just that a lot of the clubs. Don't have a listening atmosphere, and the cool thing about house concerts is that they're really people really listen.
So nice.
There's drawbacks as well.
They T H R they throw things.
No, I've never had stuff thrown, unfortunately. But I hear that can happen.
The kind of clubs we play, I think.
But one of the cool things is doing the Rose Street offsite shows is we do tend to focus on even the offsite shows are in places which are listening spaces. And so sometimes we do them in other people's houses, and sometimes we do them in like folk clubs or colleges or other places. Usually we tend to avoid doing too many in places where people would throw things. And we're actually looking for more people to host house concerts, especially we're looking for people who have wheelchair accessible houses who would be willing to offer their house to volunteer the house for an event occasionally. So anybody listening out there who has a house like that
is there a number people can call? A-N-E-T, a network of H houses now?
Well, actually, there's kind of an informal network. What happened is when we started doing the Rose Street on the Road musical community tours, we started kind of reaching out to other people and asking, hey, would you be into hosting a house concert? And some people hosted one for the first time. And then also we connected with other people who host concerts, who have hosted concerts before and did community collaborations with them. So there isn't a very super well-organized network, but there's house concerts here and there, and sometimes we try to connect with each other. That's kind of the purpose of the tours, is to connect with each other so we're not so isolated from each other. And recently, actually, we got an email from somebody who's just starting to host house concerts in San Rafael. So that was really exciting. She came to volunteer in one of our concerts, and she's hosting an off-site concert for Rose Street for several artists connected with Rose Street in August, and she's also hosting other songwriters as well. So that was kind of exciting to hear of new house concerts.
How did how did you two meet?
I went to her house for a concert, and I saw this flyer looking for someone who wanted to harmonize, and I had just been looking for that kind of thing. So I was so thrilled. I immediately went up and introduced myself, and I guess it's been 2 years now. So yeah, I basically found her because she was having those house concerts. So I'm so glad that you did that. It's been great.
And it's been really wonderful collaborating with Rebecca. I really like singing with Rebecca. So I'm so glad I started hosting house concerts. If only for that reason, not just for that reason, but it's kind of cool. But it's cool because we have some collaborations that we've done. And I don't think that it would have happened. We wouldn't have started collaborating or met if it wasn't for doing that. And actually, that's some of the way that I met some of the people that I've collaborated with for the tours as well, through the Rose Street.
It is a G good C O a good con. House concerts is a good con, a good way to meet people, a good con. Like Lover, right? Right. We always say Lover is like, you know, to be able to invite people to come over to our house and do a show. Yeah. You know, we have these private concerts every Sunday night. Frank always says Lover is such a good con, such a good excuse, you know. And to meet a lot of people.
Exactly.
And to talk to people. Yeah, because it would be like to say to somebody, well, do you want to come over and get together and we could do some music and talk? They're like less. You say, do you want to come over and be on the internet live or go on cable TV and we do some music and talk? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's true, because if I was like, oh, want to come over and sing at my house?
Right.
You know, these performers wouldn't necessarily say, like, want to come over and sing to...
Have a house concert.
House concert.
Yeah.
And we have an email list people can sign to find out about the house concerts, too. They can go to just email rosestreetmusic@yahoo.com.
rosestreetmusic@yahoo.com.
To find out about the house concerts.
Yes.
Or if anybody wants to have their own private con and have a concert in their own house, they can have a house concert too.
Yes, and let you know. Yeah. And give out your website address too, again.
It's rosestreetmusic.com.
rosestreetmusic.com.
And it's all spelled out, no abbreviations. It's rosestreetmusic.com.
Yes.
But also we have an info line, which is updated more frequently than the Rose Street web pages. And that's 510-594-4000 extension 687, or MUS. And the other thing is that we're always looking for new volunteers, because I do this as a volunteer. I don't make any money from having the house concerts. And we need more volunteers, people who want to help out with, you know, with the publicity or help out with some other part of it as well.
Always. Volunteer, yeah. I mean, that's Lover too. You know, there's no money other than what we pay. You know, what we pay. But there's no money that comes in, and it's you know, everybody that's involved with it's all volunteer too.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like I sometimes joke around. And I say I have a negative wage. I have a negative wage in my volunteer. But it's fun. It's worth it.
Yes. S O so do Y R U Y R they C U cutting the P O O poor and not the rich.
That's a good question. And I think that if we could answer that question, then that would be great. Mm. But actually, you know, maybe we should call. I'll call them up and ask them. We should all call up the governor and ask him. So why are you cutting the poor, not rich? I think it's because they think that the poor people don't have as much power. But actually, what happens though is that we can kind of stand up and say, no, you can't do that. Mm. And it actually makes a difference. Last year, they were actually going to completely eliminate zero, bring it down to zero. They were going to eliminate the CalWORKS program at all the community colleges across the state. And the students called in, and the students went to the Capitol, and the students lobbied, and there was such an outpouring of activity around that the governor turned around and still cut us, but by half instead of completely. And actually, the similar thing happened, although it hasn't happened completely yet, but the governor had proposed cutting the EOPS, which is the program for low-income students at the community colleges, and the DSPS, Disabled Students Programs and Services at the community college. He had proposed cutting those two programs almost in half. And we all protested that and went down to the Capitol, and also he proposed cutting CalWORKS again. Mm-hmm. And he just did a May revise and made recommendations for what to cut. And the cuts for DSPS, the Save Disabled Students Programs and Services, and EOPS are down to 1 or 2% compared to half. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen, because there's still a lot of going back and forth that's going to happen around the budget. But I think it does make a difference. Mm-hmm. But it's still the case that the poor get cut and the rich don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they should reinstitute a higher tax on the super rich, and they cut.
Obviously.
Yeah, and it's really. I was looking at reading about some of the numbers, and there was a tax cut that the super rich had a few years back, and it was supposed to be a temporary cut, and it was supposed to go back. It was income tax for people who make more than, I think it was like $250,000 in a year for a single, or $500,000 for a couple. And the income tax went down by like a percent or two. And there's proposal right now to get the income tax back up to what it was to be, you know, like 11% or something like that. And as far as I know, that's not happening. So I think if more people spoke out about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was making $250,000, I'd be like, take 11% instead of 9%. Whatever, take 20% if you want. Take 50%. Take 80%. Mm-hmm. That would be fine if they took 80%. If I was making $250,000, I would let them take 80%. It's cool.
If they did that, there would be no CRI crisis.
That's true. There wouldn't be a crisis. And Rebecca, the place where Rebecca works is also facing some budget cuts.
We know about that
one. All the Republicans are so far saying that we don't need wheelchairs, we don't need colostomy bags for people. This is not necessary.
So it's the state is toying with the idea of saying that durable medical equipment, right, which would include
colostomy bags,
wheelchairs, right, and lots of other stuff, are no longer covered by Medi-Cal.
Right.
Is that right?
Either completely covered or they're going to cut like a huge percentage of, you know.
And so I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess more than half of the people in wheelchairs depend on Medi-Cal and Medicaid and stuff like that to pay for their
wheelchairs. It's really frightening. I think a lot of people don't really know that that's happening right now, and so there's not a big protest like there were 10 years ago, whereas maybe it's because the war is, you know.
Every even S O C social workers don't know.
Yeah.
When we told, is that the regional center guy you're talking about? Yeah. B. O. Both. He and who else? The. W. The worker. W O. The woman. From. Area Board 5, and Frank is part of Regional Center for the East Bay. He didn't know about it.
Oh my gosh,
he didn't know about it.
I just understand how that, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I would imagine that the media has something to do with people not knowing. You know, it's probably not on any of the news programs or in the papers.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about it till Rebecca told me. I mean, I think we didn't know about the cuts that either of our programs was facing until we told each other. So basically, if you're working in those programs, you find out, well, because your program is on the cutting block. But otherwise, it's really hard to find out.
Yeah. In they, F, R, A, fragment. Everybody from each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They do. They try to turn people also. They kind of try to divide people. And that's what I felt like that's what they were trying to do by cutting, trying to cut one program and then cutting the next. So what we did at our college is we actually came together. The CalWORKS program and the EOPS program and the DSPS program, we came together and we said, okay, let's fight this together. This is not about one program versus another program. All these programs are so important. So we did a joint letter. Students signed a joint letter. We did a benefit, actually, to benefit at the college for those three programs. And, of course, the benefit didn't raise very much money because it was a small grassroots benefit. But it was kind of more about raising the energy and the spirit of it.
Yeah.
And that was the event that we had on April 4th, Songs for a Future. We're probably going to repeat it again and have another benefit in the fall or the spring of next year.
K. E. E. Keep. The. P. O. L. I. Political. T. I. C. Politicians. O.
Out
of the. B. A. Bay. T. Bath. Room. Four, A, W, E, E, for a week. I, and C, if they say no bags.
Exactly right.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. What can they say that right now?
Yeah.
Let them feel like what it's like.
S T I C stick them N C H in chairs. 4 A for a week in wheelchairs. Yeah. Not J U not just 4 P H O photo ops.
That's a good idea. And then ask them to live on the check, the one check, right, that, right. You know, ask them to live on $500
SSI for a for a year. Ask them to live on it for a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's one of the things that Annette had said, was she said that that it seemed like the politicians just didn't know what it meant. Like when they see something written up and it says, I think they called it unnecessary medical equipment, and they think, wow, unnecessary medical equipment. And she says, well, it's a wheelchair. It's a colostomy bag. Right. Oh, really? And she said it's like a lot of it is just they don't know what that means. So that's like your point, if they, you know, if they actually got to see what that means that they're voting against.
And it's actually, that's why it's so important for people to call and write. And because this is actually what happened last year, CalWORKs was going to be cut by 100% because the governor didn't know what CalWORKs was. Mm-hmm. And the governor was going to cut EOPS and DSPS because he didn't know what it was. And so it's kind of like, oh, let me look at the budget. Oh, this thing, I don't know what it is. Let's just cross it out. I don't know what this is. Let's cross
right.
it out.
Right. They. K. N. They know. What. P R I S prisons are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, they do that.
They are I N C, increasing the money that goes into prisons. That's but the true. One thing that they're cutting is the arts program in prisons.
Wow.
Yeah. Even though there's been studies that show that with the arts program, there's less returns to prison. And, you know, so obviously the point is they want the people to come back to prison because people are making a lot of money from these prisons, so they're cutting the thing that keeps them out.
Yeah, that's really sad that they're doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that's also why it's so important to, like, at least for me, one of the reasons that I sing these political songs is to bring the messages out because a lot of people don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so that's what See Through Bush is about, is about, okay, this is really what happened, and this is not what you hear. You know, it's not what you hear on the 10 o'clock news. It's not what you hear on the front page of the of the mainstream newspaper. So that's why it's so important to speak out about it. And also with Welfare to Work Blues, when I seen that, if they're in different places, I mention, okay, this is what's going on, because if people don't know what's going on, then they can't really protest it. And they can't let their voices be heard. So that's kind of a lot of why I sing political songs as well as personal ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why it's kind of been really cool to collaborate with Rebecca, because she feels similar.
We do. Kind of
bring the messages out there together.
Ten 20. We've gone over already. It's about because we started a little late, so it's about right. Yeah. Okay, let's plug everything then one more time. Say who you are and give whatever you want to give, whatever info. Yeah.
Well, I'm Irina Rishkin, and
I'm Rebecca Crump.
And And we're part of a trio called Making Waves, which is currently a duo, so we're looking for a new member. And we're also connected with the Rose Street House of Music, which is a house concert and grassroots musical community that features women senior songwriters. And it's located in Berkeley, although we do concerts up and down the West Coast. And to find out about what's going on, go to www.rosestreetmusic.com. It's all spelled out, no abbreviations. Or rosestreetmusic@yahoo.com. And you can call 510-594-4000, extension 687, or MUS. And you can also call that number and leave a message if you'd like more information about Making Waves, which is Rebecca and I, and the third person who will... You can audition for Making Waves.
Come on down.
So. You could be the third person.
You could be the third person in Making Waves. Making Waves was formed around, actually, the KPF, the struggle of community radio station KPFA. Mm-hmm. I wrote a song about what was going on. This was back in 1999, and how Pacifica tried to shut KPFA down. And so that's kind of how the song is Making Waves, and then the group is Making Waves. Although the song Making Waves requires at least three people, which is why we didn't do it today. But maybe sometime in the future. And thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was When Lover A L about When Lover Started? No. When Lover A L Oh, Lover Alternative News. I think that's around, right, because we sent, we ended up having a crew there a lot of the time, videotaping all the stuff going on outside the place.
Wow.
And, yeah, we ended up starting our alternative news site, lover.org, out of
that.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool to hear.
In fact, we
that.
Still have a lot of that stuff archived, all that, the stuff that happened around KPFA.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's really good that you were there to document what was going on.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. B. J. B. By the way. We. Have. A. N. A new show. Which one? Started like about four new shows. I. N. D. Indie Girl, right.
Right. I'm actually a member of Indie Girl.
Yes.
Oh, and it was really cool to
You
hear.
Were featured.
Yeah, it was really wonderful to hear that. That's really exciting.
Yeah. We found out about Indie Girl from Christy Martell. Yeah. And she suggested that we just put the word out for CDs. And sure enough, we just started getting all these incredible CDs. So we were listening to them one night. We said, we should just start a show. And so, and when is it, Mikey?
Monday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific.
That's cool.
Yeah, where we feature stuff. Y. Don't. R. E. Regular. R. A. Radio stations. P. Play. W, O, women?
That's a good question. Kind of similar to why do they cut the...
Poor, not the rich.
So let's ask them.
Some
of them do, like you do. And also KPFA and KLW and some of the more... progressive stations tend to play more women than at least some of the commercial ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard because a lot of the commercial stations, when they do play women, it's a certain kind of woman.
Right.
And it's the, it's not us kind of women.
Mm-hmm. It sure. is not B, E, because it is not because there are not women out there making music.
No, it's definitely not because of that. But I think, just kind of the way that a certain segment of the media controls what goes out there. I was really upset when I heard that Clear Channel had censored music that you know, that they recommend stations play. And it's really, I remember we were having a concert around that time, and I was just listening to all the music that was played at the concert, and we realized that every single one of us would have been censored by Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. C was that 9-1-1? Oh, that you were talking about that 9-1-1
yeah.
list.
Yeah, I mean, Imagine was censored.
Yeah,
we actually got the list, and we got put on a series of CDs. Every single song we did a marathon where we just played that music.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's in our mix, so you know, it plays all the time. Yeah.
You do a wonderful thing here. It's really amazing that you do this. And I really appreciate that you bring this out to the community.
Yes.
Okay, on that note.
Thank you.
And let's see, next week is Shroomy Shroom. That's it's Barb Golden. And L. Look for the R O Rose Street House concerts. The show. Yes, eventually we'll have a show, Rose Street concerts.
Cool.
So keep an eye on our schedule. Yes. The player's going to stop. We'll have the mix for a half hour, and then the usual programming, Dr. Susie Block and Playing with Passion. This is Lover.